أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورفعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى، وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لفاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يمحو الله ما يشاء ويثبت وعنده أم الكتاب. We have been discussing about the concept of adl and justice in the Islamic belief system, and today's discussion is related with a very important aspect of this discussion, and that is about the qada and qadar. We are getting closer to the end of the adl discussion, and there are a couple of very important lessons remaining based on all those facts that we have learned and discussed already in the previous lessons. So we are trying to conclude and imply all what we have learned up till now to discuss about the Islamic beliefs that are obligatory on every Muslim to believe in the light of the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So qada and qadr are two Islamic terms in the Arabic language which are frequently used even in our everyday conversations. Qadr and qada they have quite few meanings, and the first of those is that qadr means the measure, the amount, the measure of anything. Making something according to a specific amount, size, weight, measure, you know. And qada means bringing something to the finish line, bringing something to the to its desired destination, or giving a verdict about something. That's qada. So and the second meaning about these words is Allah, qadr and taqdeer, qadr and taqdeer means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided a specific measure about everything regarding its amount and size and place and time and situation, how it would be, where, when, how much, and placed it under a series of causes and effects. A series of causes and effects, a chain of causes and effects that happens gradually, and that series of causes and effects happens gradually and thus results in the happening or coming into being of an existence according to the measure that Allah has set forth and decided. How much, where, when, and how, all those things that Allah has decided according to His knowledge, the thing will come into existence according to those measures after the series of causes and effects take place. So this is how the second meaning for qadar and taqdeer is used. And qaza we mean by that as that actually after all the series of causes and effects take place and the conditions are met, bringing an existence, bringing something into existence and making it final, that's the meaning of qada. After the completion of all the causes and effects, the series of causes, the chain of causes and effects, and all the conditions and are suitable, bringing something into existence and making it final, that's the meaning of qada. So keeping in view the second meaning, we understand that it's very obvious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set forth a series or a chain of causes and effects, and after that series of causes and effects, a thing or all the things come into existence and become final and come into the existence. So which makes very clear that the place of taqdeer and qadr is before the level of qada, when the things come into existence and become final, that's the level of qada. So taqdeer and qadr has to be earlier and qada has to be later. After having said that, let's come to a very quick example to make it clear. Like a baby, for example, is converted after a series of causes and effects that affect in its their own turn, they have their own share, those causes and effects, they do their level of impact given by Allah, and at the end a baby comes into existence. Allah provides existence to a baby. It starts from the egg, the sperm, and then it becomes, in Arabic we call it from the nutfa, the sperm to the ulqa, to the alaqa, and then to mudghah and to janin. I'm sorry. From the nutfa to the alaqa, to the mudghah and to janin. That means the levels which are defined, the baby in the initial, after the sperm level, it converts into, it's kind of like just a fleshy thing with flesh, and then there are bones in it, and then there's soul added into it after the 4 months of the baby is complete in the womb. Then the soul arrives, and after later on it grows, and then it's born and comes into existence. So this is just to give you an example about the gradual effect of the series of causes and effects on an existence before it comes into being, and then finally the qaza and final verdict of Allah applies, and the existence really comes into existence. The thing really comes into existence. And if any of those series of chains and effects do not happen, or there is a missing, for example, there is a missing cause, one cause is not available, that effect will also not be available, and thus, since the chain of causes and effects has been affected, the desired result will not be achieved. So this is a little example to make you understand that the difference between qada and qadar. And so we understand in the light of that qada and qadar is of course qadar is tadriji and gradual, whereas qada is all of a sudden and final, and there's no change whatsoever in the case of qada. I repeat this remark, but please pay attention. We understand in the light of all this that qadar and taqdeer are gradual in nature, and qada is all of a sudden, it's not gradual, it happens all of a sudden, and it's the final verdict, and it's a final thing, and it's not changeable at any cost. That's about qada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Ali Imran, verse 47, إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَكُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When he has decreed a plan, he but says to it, be, and it is. So when he has decreed a plan, he just says, be, and that thing happens. So this is the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also we must keep in mind that sometimes these two words, qada and qadr, are used as synonyms, having the same meanings, and mutaradif. And that's why you may find in some of the books that the author may have written that they were qada and qadr together, and saying that, well, qada and qadr are the same thing, or there are two kinds of qada and qadr. One is hatmi and the other one is ghair hatmi. One is final and the other one is changeable. Well, because sometimes they do use these two words in the same meanings, and then they divide it into changeable and non-changeable. The final non-changeable, they mean the qada, and that aspect that we have discussed in the category of qada, under the title of qada. And changeable, they mean that aspect of which we have talked about, qadr and taqdeer, which is changeable. So sometimes they do use it as synonyms, and that's why then they will be forced to classify it into changeable and non-changeable, final, changeable and final. But of course, more accurately is what I defined earlier to you is something which is more precise. From this aspect, we find in some of the narrations in the riwayat and du'as, we find that you may find that there is a taghyir in qada, there is a change in the qada thing. And that is probably referring if the word is used in the very general meaning as a synonym with each other, that in qada and qadar as mutaradif, having the same meanings and synonyms to each other. That's why in some of the narrations and du'as you may find about the changeability of qada in the sense, because they are using the word qada and qadar in the same meaning. So since qadar is something which is changeable, so they are using qada in the same meaning as well, so that's why you may find a changeable qada. Like if you give sadaqah, for example, your death will be altered. If you do goodness to your parents, birr bil walidain, doing good and dutiful behavior towards our parents, it increases, for example, it increases in our age. So it actually increases your age. So in other words, it extends your death line or death time. So you may say there is a change in qada. There's a change in the decision of God. Or if you do silatul rahim, for example, if you keep intact and keep your relation in touch with your relatives, which is wajib in Islam to keep our relation intact with our relatives and never to break away from them. Silatul Rahim. So Silatul Rahim, we have plenty of ahadith and traditions that talk about the fact that Silatul Rahim and keeping in touch, keeping our relation intact with our relatives causes long age. Causes length in our age, increase in our age. In the light of traditions, we do understand that. And likewise, dua itself, supplication itself, has been referred in some of in different statements as dua and supplication is a factor that changes the qada. It performs a taghyir in qada. These kinds of statements or du'as or narrations that you may encounter, of course, in that situation, the word qada and qadar are used in one meaning as a synonym. That's why they're talking about the change in qada. Although the qada itself never changes, but that's what they mean, because they're using the word qada and qadar in the similar meanings. And I have mentioned up till now about the meanings of these two words, and the last point that I would like to mention before I move forward is another aspect of the meaning of these two terms, these two Islamic terms, qada and qadar. Another aspect is about the fact that we do divide these two Islamic terms into two classifications, two further classifications. We have qada and qadar al-ilmiyain and qada and qadar al-ayniyain. Ilmi and ayni. That means qada and qadar related to the knowledge, and qada and qadar related to the external world. that's another division of qada and qadr in the Islamic belief system and Islamic knowledge. So what we mean by qada and qadr in terms of the knowledge of Allah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full information about availability of each of those causes and effects and taking place of each of those causes and effects which are in the series or the chain of the causes and effects before something arrives into comes into existence. There are series of causes and effects that are before its existence level. And Allah has complete knowledge about all those that series of causes and effects and conditions that impact the coming into being of an existence. And qadr, in that sense, that's about the qadr. That's about the qadr of Allah, because He knows, He has a knowledge about the series of, causes and effects before the existence of something. And qada means Allah has the knowledge about the coming into being of that thing. So this is the qada and qadr al-ilmiyain. That means qada and qadr ilmi, about the knowledge. From the knowledge aspect we talk about qada and qadr, that God knows about the series of causes and effects which are before the existence of something, and God knows about coming into being of that thing, when it will come to being, how, and what would be, at what time, when it is going to come into existence. That's about the qada. So this is about the knowledge aspect, ilmi aspect of these two terms. And then we have another classification, which is ayni. Ayni means about the kharij, about the external world. And when we say qada and qadr al-ayniyain, or qada wa qadr ayni, what we mean out of it is that, the nisbat or the nisbat, when we relate something of the series of causes and effects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is about the qadr, that we are relating and doing this nisbat towards Allah of each of those causes and effects that fall in the series before something comes into existence. And qada in that matter means the nisbat and intisab and relation that we give about coming into being of something towards Allah, that He's the one who is the sole one who provides effect and provides the verdict for that thing after the series of change and effect has taken place. He is the one who gives the verdict for that thing to come actually into existence in the outer world, in the real world. That's called the qada and qadr al-ayniyain, in the external and outer world. Certainly we have plenty, we have verses of Holy Quran and of course authentic traditions supporting the same theme that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolute knowledge of all the existences, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a slate which we call Allah al-Mahfuz, Allah Mahfuz, the divine slate. We have we believe in the light of certain verses of Holy Quran and certain authentic traditions from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a divine slate. And in that divine slate, all information about all existences are written there. That means there is an information about the entire qaza and qadar available in that divine slate. Everybody who has access to the Lawhe Mahfuz, everybody who has access to the divine slate will be having access to the entire knowledge about qaza and qadar, about the series of causes and effects before coming into existence of something, and about the qaza, that means finally coming into existence of something, regarding all the mawjudat, regarding all the creatures, all the existences. So anybody who has access to the divine slate will have the information about the past, the present, and the future of every single existence. Likewise, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain other slates as well, where there are incidents available on those slates in the incomplete form, the incomplete knowledge. So those people who have access to those of the slates will have incomplete information about those existences, because that the information written is incomplete there. Incomplete, maybe this verse of Holy Quran which I recited in the beginning of my lesson, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, and that is from Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 39, that Allah erases what He wishes and maintains, and with Him lies the أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Maybe this verse refers to to these two destinies. So that's what our scholars say. And the change that we we have talked about about the tahir and change, about those of the taqdeer or qadr which is ghair hatmi and qabil taghyir and changeable, non-final and changeable qadr and taqdeer, that is also named as bada in the terminology of some narrations. Just to let you know about it, that another term which is also used for the changeable taqdeer and the changeable qadr is also commonly known as bada' in the terminology of riwayat and narrations. So now that after having learned all this, we now come to the main point of our discussion. We are getting close to that main point. What has qaza and qadr to do with the freedom of action that the human has? What has qaza and qadr to do with the human freedom and ikhtiyar that we enjoy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every human with free will. So we are allowed to do what we wish to do. We are allowed to choose what we wish to choose. We may choose the evil path, or we may choose the good path, path of goodness, the noble path. We may choose the right and start following the right and the truth, and we may start following the wrong or the falsehood. So a human being in this world has the freedom to choose his path. What has the qada and qadr of Allah to do with the freedom of a human? How much freedoms do we enjoy? And this discussion will certainly also drag us to the jabr and tafwid discussion, which is another very important and interesting and a little bit complicated discussion, which I think probably we are going to discuss it in the next lesson or the later lesson. We will talk about the jabr and tafwid, which is also related to the justice of Allah, and it is discussed under that subject. So qada and qadr, what relation do they have with the human freedom? If we find that everything is, all the existences are already under the qada and qadr of Allah, all the prelude of an existence, all the chain of causes and effects are already under the tadbir of Allah, under his qada and qadr, under his absolute knowledge, under his absolute wisdom, and he's the one who is governing all the chain of causes and effects before the existence of an existence. And Allah's absolute knowledge and wisdom is governing the coming into being of something, coming into existence of something is also governed by Allah. So where is the human freedom? Where do you find the human freedom then? Everything is under his will. When all the causes and effects and the conditions that apply about the existence of any of the creatures is under his governance, knowledge and wisdom, how do we find and how do we justify that a human being is having his own free will? Because we do believe that everything is under the will of Allah. All the causes and effects before the existence of something, which are gradual, and coming into existence of something as of in the final level, all of a sudden, finally coming into the existence, is also under the irada and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We certainly believe at Islam that Allah has istiqlal. Allah is independent in providing effectiveness to any of those causes in the series of causes and effects before our coming into being. And we do consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having istiqlal and independence about the final stage of qada, that means coming into being all of a sudden after the causes and effects series has been fulfilled successfully. In both the levels of qadr and qada, Allah has independence and istiqlal in ta'seer. He is the only one effective. There is no other power effective. That's what Islamically we believe. Because we believe in one God and we believe in one mu'assir. There is no one mu'assir giving ta'seer, having influence and effectiveness. Anyone other than Allah doesn't have effectiveness. All the effects that we find have their power given by Allah to them. That's why they are effective. So actually, the effectiveness lies with nothing but Allah. That's why we believe in one God. And we already discussed in the subject of Tawheed that God is the only mu'assir and influential and effective on all the existences. No one but God has the ta'seer and effectiveness and influence. So understanding this concept of qada and qadr, about the Qatar thing, maybe it's a bit easier for some people because, of course, the Qatar has a gradual level of a series of causes and effects taking place, so it's a gradual process, so some people find it easier to understand the Qadar of Allah. But when it comes to the Qadha of Allah, all of a sudden something comes into existence, that is maybe more difficult for some people to digest or realize how the Qadha and final verdict, unchangeable final verdict of Allah arrives about any existence, anything, and then it momentarily, suddenly comes into existence. So understanding Qadha may be a little bit difficult for some people as compared to understanding Qadar, which is gradual and there's a series and a process involved, so it's kind of more easier for some people to realize. And that's this kind of how to find a way, how to add all these things up, in the sense that we certainly believe that Allah is the only one who has ta'seer, He is mu'assir, He is the only one having the influence and effectiveness, and the one who provides the impact and effects and gives the power to each of those causes to bring the effect. He's the only one having that effectiveness and influence and power. And he's the only one who gives the verdict, which is final and all of a sudden for something to come into existence about all the actions that are taking place in the universe. How to add up this effectiveness of Allah, and he is the sole one who gives effectiveness and who gives the impact and gives the influence and causes all these things to happen. How to add up this with the free will of a human? And there is the point where we find that in the Islamic belief, among the different sects like Asha'ira and Mu'tazila and Imamiyya, the Shia Imamiyya, there lies differences. The differences lie here, because we find the Asha'ira sect in the Muslims have been forced to believe that since Allah is the only one who provides impact and effectiveness and to all the causes to provide the effects, and Allah is the one who gives the final verdict for something to come into existence, that's why the human are under the jabr, and they are majboor, they are forced to do what they do, and we cease to have the final free will. We cease to have the free will in our actions. It's all under jabr, and we are all majboor, we are all forced to do what we do, and we do not have a choice to make. Asha'ira sect were forced to believe in Jabr because they could not add up the Qadha and Qadr of Allah with the free will of a human. Whereas the Mu'tazila sect were forced to believe, since they could not answer the Jabr is also, if we believe that we are majboor, that we are under, the Jabr of Allah, na'uzu billah, that's also unjustifiable. We are forced to do things. There is no free will for the human. That's also unjustifiable. Since the Mu'tazila sect could not answer the Jabr, could not handle it, could not justify it, so they denied that Qadha of Allah actually does not include the human activity, and humans are they have their free will in all what they want to do. So Qadha of Allah actually does not at all include the human action. The humans have been given absolute freedom in all what they want to do, and that's how Mu'tazila were forced to believe in Tafwid. tafriz that Allah has given the whole authority and surrendered His entire authority to the human being. Now do what you wish to do. It's nothing to do with me. So Mu'tazila, since they could not justify the Jabr theory of Asha'ira, they went to the other extreme and they said, we believe in tafweez, that everything has been surrendered by Allah to the human. In the sense that now Allah is no more influential, He has no influence, no effectiveness on any of the actions of the human, and human has 100% freedom in all what he wants to do, without God having any role to play in the human actions. That's the second extreme of tafweez. So I hope you understand this point, that we need to find a way to add up between the human free will and still believe in the qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since the time is over, so inshallah I would like to continue this discussion in the